Well, hello, and welcome back to another episode of Cliff's Notes on Profitable Coaching. This is episode number 36, and it is session 3 of the Mark Mason sessions. Now, if you're not familiar with this, we started this back in episode number 34. And if you want to watch the entire progression of me coaching a dear friend of mine, Mark Mason, through the launch and success of building a profitable coaching business and what it looks like for me to have a one-on-one coaching relationship with somebody where we have one 90-minute session each month for 12 months. That is what you're able to witness here in these Mark Mason sessions. So if you want to start from the beginning, if you haven't done so, go back and start with episode number 34 of this podcast. But here we are, right here, right now, with session number 3. I am super excited to catch up and see how things are going as it compares to what you were up to in our last conversation. Did you follow through on checking out the Creating Lasting Change program with Tony Robbins by any chance?
I did. I followed through and I purchased it, and it asked me why I did that. And I said, because my good friend Cliff Ravenscraft told me to do that, which is not true, but that's what I told him. I mean, he didn't tell me to do anything, right? But you recommended it. And yeah, so I did that, and I've gotten most of the way through it once, or maybe at least halfway through it, because first I re-listened to The Coaching Habit again. For that's like my second or third time through that book. And I have done that. And so, yeah, I'm really enjoying that. I really like Tony. In fact, I like Tony so much that even though the people that he brings in to pinch hit for him so he doesn't blow his voice out completely, I'm always disappointed, not disappointed, but, you know, like, there's a big difference between Tony and everybody else, I guess is what I would say.
Yeah. So you're speaking of Andy Frehe, who is doing some of the narration of some of the material.
That's right. And they cut to live sessions, and I really enjoy that. Having seen Tony live, you know, that brings back some happy memories for me. So I really enjoy that. I'm reminded of distinctions. You know, Tony is a master storyteller, as you know. And some of the stories I've heard and some I either haven't heard or don't remember, but I'm just reminded of some of the distinctions that he draws with regard to, you know, kind of how neural pathways are formed. It's just really, really interesting. So I've really been enjoying that.
I am so excited. The other thing I want to check in with you is, did you invite 10 qualified people into complimentary coaching sessions by the end of the weekend that we had last previously spoke?
I did not. And I was hoping that we would, that's something we could talk about today. I did not. So that's my answer to your question is no. And not just no, Cliff, but hell no. I'm not even going to make an excuse. I did not do that. And that needs to be unpacked further, I think.
All right. So my next question is, did you invite at least one person since our last session all the way through to today?
I did, yes.
Okay. So how many?
Two, actually.
So you invited two.
Yes.
All right. We'll get into that. So invited two. Let me ask you this. Did you block out dedicated time slots on your calendar that are devoted towards when you will be coaching, so that you know that those are the times when somebody says yes, this is where you will put them, with the idea that if you get to one of those spots on your calendar and nobody's booked coach, you plan to use that time to invite people into future sessions? Did you do that?
I did.
Excellent.
I did block the time. I did not do an excellent job of respecting the time that I blocked, but I blocked the time and I did respect it occasionally, but something less than about half the time. In every case, I was battling things that I could choose to identify as higher priorities. And that's maybe something else to unpack.
Yep. Let's see here. Did you continue to organically mention your coaching availability within your podcast and other platforms?
Yeah. And I think maybe you've seen some of this. I've been doing what I think is a really good job of, mentioning this, the availability of this, how to reach out to me if you're interested in this. One of the sessions that we'll talk about today came from that. And I've been doing it in my newsletter and my podcast, and I've been doing exactly what you recommended, which I'm super comfortable with, is bringing generic but relevant thoughts from previous coaching work that I've done, both big and small, limiting beliefs, learnings, ideas, and saying, things like, in the past when I've coached people on this topic, this is what I found and this is the answer that I helped them with, or, those kind of, what I call them is anecdotal references to coaching.
Yep.
And then sometimes following that with calls to action that, if you find yourself in a similar situation, give me a call.
Awesome.
So this part is working. So, I'm disappointed that I didn't accomplish everything that we agreed to accomplish last month. And then I had to catch myself and say, wait a minute. I'm way down the road from where I started. And when we talked about the fact that, this is competing with some other priorities in my business right now. I had originally talked about coaching clients by the end of the year. We've created an opportunity to accelerate that. And I've done many things and thought about this and done things around it a lot. It's top of mind for me now. So I really had to catch myself and say, okay, two things. One, that is a significant amount of accomplishment that I would not have done if we had not started talking about this. And let me tell you what would have happened, because I know me. I've been me for decades. And I call it carrying a little cliff around on my shoulder. If we had not been having this interaction, I would have set the December deadline and worried about it in October, or best case. For me, December is code for, I kind of want to do this, but I don't want to have to think about it. So what's happening here is forced me to think about it, but that's not really what I mean. You've created an environment that's allowed me to spend time on this, and I've moved, and I've not moved as far as I wanted, because I never do. I realize that too. I never move as far as I want, but I moved. So I'm excited about that. But there are these two areas that I think we should revisit if we're able today to talk about why I didn't even meet my own expectations there.
Yeah. Well, you definitely brought up the fact that you have competing priorities in your business. The idea is that for you, you're like, hey, I think I'd like to have two paid clients by the end of 2024. And here we are having conversations. And for me personally, I'm thinking, okay, Mark wants two paid clients that are high-level clients that he can really feel fulfilled working with. And
yeah, the way I've been saying it is two clients that delight me that I can really help.
Sure. And my experience is that while I'm not saying it's outside of the realm of possibility that if you started working on that, let's just say in the final quarter of 2024, you couldn't pull it off. You could, absolutely. But there are so many different things that you could be working on progressively throughout the year that makes it inevitable that by the end of the year, you actually have two clients that fulfill your vision. And it may take you 4 or 5 or 6 or 7 clients on the path to those two clients, to or potential clients, I should say,
yes,
to find the two that you really, really want to invest your time, effort, and energy in. The other thing is, and of course, I mentioned this in the intro, if people go back to the first Mark Mason session, this is session 3 of the Mark Mason sessions. In episode 1, you have a day job also, and it's a job that you've been at for a very long time, and you're in a senior position there, and not to mention the fact that you're not looking to leave the day job anytime soon. And so with that, that's always going to be your priority as well. Now, with that being said, we are talking about, it's like, okay, well, let's talk about the commitments that we're making and what we're doing here. And finding out what's going on. Why did we make that commitment? And then why didn't we follow through? But what I'd love to do is, first, I'd like to know, I'd like to focus on what you did do. You did block out times on your calendar that you would devote to. And so I'd like to know, how many sessions per week or month have you blocked out for coaching people?
Yeah. So currently I blocked out 2 hour blocks per week.
Two hour blocks.
Yes. And the times represent times when I could actually do coaching if there were clients there. Mm-hmm. But they don't represent the only times that I could. I mean, I could move those blocks to accommodate someone, but those are the times, and they are Wednesday night from 8 to 10. And Friday night from 8 to 10. And one of the reasons that I chose those two blocks in those locations was because I felt like I would be able to get into those blocks. They were safe from a conflict. I can imagine hard conflicts, like my son's baseball game, right? So those kind of things, I'm avoiding picking those time slots. And actually, you know, speaking of that, that Friday slot will move here in March when baseball season switches. But I've got these, I'm shooting for 2 hour slots to keep open.
Excellent. So, and these are set up in your calendar as recurring. And when you look at your calendar right now, for the next several weeks, those time slots from 8 to 10 p.m. on Wednesdays and Fridays, they show as this is available, this is reserved for either potential coaching clients or somebody who is already scheduled for a coaching session during those blocks.
Yes, and in fact, I'd show it to you, but I can't because it's in my work calendar.
That's okay.
But yeah.
No. So first of all, it's important that you've done that. So congratulations on blocking that out and setting that time aside. I'd like to also really dive into what happened with the two people that you did invite. How did that come about? Let's start with the first person.
Yeah. So, the first person is, a person that I became aware of that is, a member of a cohort of people that is working through a selling on Amazon course.
Yep.
And this person spent a sizable amount of money getting involved in this course, and they expressed that they were concerned, wanting to know whether or not making money online was a real thing. This is the first time that they'd tried an online business. One worried about, you know, whether they were being scammed and, you know, all the things that you worry about when you've got money on the line, right? And they had questions about details around how Amazon business worked and, you know, additional questions beyond the scope of the course. And I reached out to the person. I said, hey, I would love to see if I could help you. And I had a 90-minute call with that person.
Okay. So the language that you used is, you reached out and said, I'd love to see if I can help you.
Yes.
Now, is this somebody that you have had some interaction with?
No.
Okay.
What happened was I had made a post in a forum, in a course, a high ticket, helping someone else. And the person actually took the initiative to find me and ask me a question. And I started a conversation with them. They actually Googled me and...
Okay, so you were in conversation with them. This was not a cold outreach. That's what I was getting at.
Well, yeah. So the way it went down exactly like this, I made a forum post regarding something else.
Yes.
They figured my name out from that forum post, searched me up on the internet and sent me an email and told me their situation. And I reached out to them and said, hey, I'd like to, how would you like to talk on the phone? They were, that blew their mind, I think, because they weren't expecting even, you know, the time of day from me. And we had a phone call.
This is perfect. What I want to do is first and foremost share that this is exactly what the Prosperous Coach Method is all about. So some people say, Cliff, this all sounds amazing. I know who my target audience. I have no idea of how to go find these people. So Mark just gave you exactly one of a seemingly infinite number of possibilities that exist for you to go and engage in, start building, connecting relationships with people. So in essence, this is what Mark has done. He knows who his target audience is. His target audience is he wants to help people who are looking to build online businesses. Mark has lots of expertise in area of skills, talents, and abilities to be of service here. And he really wants to help people in that field, online businesses. So Mark has his own interest in Amazon fulfillment type business, fulfilled by Amazon. There, he's already podcasting about these courses that he's taken in the past. He's taking the next cohort. I'm sure that you're an affiliate for this
program.
That's
correct, yes.
And so there are many people who may sign up because Mark talks about it, and he earns a commission each time somebody hears about this program from him. So Mark also goes through this program and is there to be of support and encouragement to other people who may be benefiting Mark indirectly through their commission that he gets paid. So, but Mark is also genuinely interested in fulfilled by Amazon businesses and learning what's the latest, what's the newest, and all this other stuff. So what Mark is doing is he's following his own passion where his target audience also exists. Everybody in this course is Mark's potential client really. And so Mark is in there. He's engaging. He creates a post. And then all of a sudden people engage. And as a result of creating a post, he captures the attention, awareness of somebody else in the group. And they're like, wow, I saw your post and I saw how you engage with other people in this forum. You seem like you really have a lot of experience here that I could benefit. I'd like to ask you a question. Now, many times that'll happen in the comment section inside of the forum for the particular program. Sometimes, depending on if that's a part of like Facebook private group or something like that, they might direct message you. In this case, the person looked Mark up and is even probably more blown away by his credibility, because if you search Mark Mason on the internet and internet marketing, you're going to see that Mark's been around for quite some time. He's got a lot of experience. So this person emails Mark. There's already this relationship of rapport and trust that has been established, which immediately is, this is one of the short, you know, they email you. Did you immediately ask them if they want to jump on a call, or did you ask them a question before inviting them to a call?
Yeah, I specifically asked them a question. I responded to her email and asked her another question.
So that is connecting. So what, and the whole idea of connecting that I want to point out is that it is about discerning. It is about auditioning this person. What have they already got going on? How invested are they in this process? How can I judge how important and valuable it is that they seek the, or that they get the answers they're looking for? What would this mean to them? What, why are they looking for this? Why is this so important? So Mark is going to he responds to this email that came in and ask a couple of questions. You got an email response back, clearly indicated that, okay, this is somebody I discern. I would be willing to jump into a conversation and see if there's something more here. Now, you said we jumped into a phone call. So it doesn't sound to me like you invited them to a full, let's just say 90-minute full-on coaching experience. It sounded to me like you maybe invited them to a phone conversation which may still be considered to be technically a connecting conversation. So can you clarify that?
Yeah, I was not rigorous about the structure of it like I would have, like I've experienced with you, for example. I had them, in this case, I chose for whatever reason 60 minutes, and I asked them to, if they wanted, I told them I had 60 minutes available to talk. And so I didn't call it a coaching conversation. It was scheduled. Okay. Mm-hmm. And it was for a finite duration, but I didn't do, your approach is pretty sophisticated and rigorous in a good way. I mean, it's formulaic, right? You know exactly what you're going to do. You do the same thing every time. At least that's my impression. I didn't do that. I wasn't quite there yet, in my own mind, but so that's what I did. I just scheduled an hour.
Okay. So what I'd love to do is share with you some feedback on, number one, I think it's great that you still did it. And there are many ways that I would still do what you did, but I wouldn't consider it to be a quote unquote session. And here's why. So one of the things that I have learned, and I picked this up through Rich Litvin, and that is you really want to make sure that you carefully craft and curate what this environment is that you're offering. So in essence, it's like, hey, you know, I'm a random guy on the internet. So in essence, it is possible was this a man or a woman, by the way?
A woman.
Okay. So this woman has emailed you as somebody who she thinks you might have some answers that might, and she just sent you an email. Maybe she's going to get an email response and get a quick answer to something. Then you asked her some questions. She took some time to respond to you, and you said, hey, I've got time for a phone call. If you'd like to jump on the call, I have up to 60 minutes. We could chat, and I'd love to see if I can help you. So in essence, here's
that's exactly what happened. What you just described is exactly right.
Yep. And here, and I want to tell you, there are two different interpretations of who Mark Mason is. All right. There's only one that I would think logically. Mark Mason's a guy on the internet who is very willing to help other people. That's it. That's the impression. Got all right. It. Now, is that the impression that you want? Yes, at one level, that is exactly the kind of impression
you want. That's not the full impression that I want.
But there is a different impression that you could have. The other impression that you could have gave is, hey, this is, you know what, based upon your answers to my questions, this is exactly the type of coaching that I've been doing for more than a decade with people who are building online businesses. It just so happens that I happen to have an open coaching slot this week, either on Friday or Wednesday or Friday for 1 hour. And what I would love to do as my gift to you, with no strings attached, no expectation, no obligation that you ever become a paid coaching client, I would like to give you a complimentary, full-blown, one-hour coaching experience with me either this Wednesday or this Friday. Would you be interested? And by the way, if you are interested, here are the three things that I request of you. Number one, make sure that you come to the call 100% distraction-free. Number two, make sure that you come to the session from a place with a reliable internet connection that allows us to both have a conversation via Zoom audio and video. And number three, make sure that when you schedule the session with me, that you protect that time slot so that it's not easily canceled or that you have a desire to reschedule with something else that may come up. So I ask you to prioritize. If you're willing to commit to these three things, then I would love to give this gift to you. Here's a link to schedule for this Wednesday or Friday. Now, if you would have done that, do you see that the perception of who Mark Mason is has radically shifted?
Yes, 100%.
Do you see that the value of what Mark Mason has just given as an opportunity to her is exponentially far more valuable than jumping on a phone call?
Yes, 100%.
Okay. So, not that you did anything wrong.
No. I didn't take it that way. Yep. You're right. Yep.
Yep. So I just wanted to share that with you. Here's the opportunity that you have to craft the identity or the perception of who you are professionally to her in such a way that it's non-confrontational. You're not pushing it off. You're not bragging about who you are. You're just saying, hey, this is who I am professionally. This is what I have to offer, and it's my gift to you. I happen to have some time. I'd love to serve you in this way. Anyway,
yep.
What are your thoughts as you hear that?
I think that's that point is well taken. So thank you. And you know, the other thing about that is useful is it sets the expectation for that's what normal is.
Yes.
Normal's not let's hop on the telephone and talk. Normal's like this is a session, like going to a doctor's appointment. And that is transactional, and it sets that up, and so that's another really obvious reason to do it that way. So thanks for that distinction.
Yeah, and it also really sets up your own level of there's a perception of what is Mark's professional self-esteem as it relates to his coaching and his advice and his access to him. So there's a level of perception that's below the surface as well. What is Mark's professional self-esteem? And there's a lot that can be communicated that says, I have specific environments where I do my thing, and this is how that looks, and here are the boundaries of what I have created here. This is the environment that I curate. And I love what you said. It's kind of like a doctor. Imagine if you go to your local church and your own personal primary care physician is there. You don't walk into the vestibule and say, hey, I happen to have this itch. Can you take a look at this?
You look at this boil on my buttocks, please. Yes. Yeah. I never do that in church. Maybe in the grocery store, but never
maybe in the grocery store. So, but that's exactly what I'm saying is there's an opportunity for us to, number one, really value and respect who we are and what we offer as a profession, as a coach. And then also in the way that we communicate that when we're inviting somebody to that experience.
Yeah, it's a good distinction. And it makes me feel like almost like you've done this before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A couple times. Okay. Yeah. All right. So Mark, you jumped on this, you scheduled the call, you did it by telephone. Is that what happened?
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay. There's nothing wrong, by the way. I'm not opposed to telephone, and you don't have to do Zoom audio and video. I'm just, when I say those things, I'm sharing from my own experience. This is what I do. I prefer the visual experience. I like to be able to see what the body language is on the other side, but that's just the type of coach that I am. So you had this 1 hour conversation, and tell me, what was the experience like? How would you describe it?
Well, I loved it. I mean, I personally would talk about my perception of her experience here in a minute. Cause she told me, cause I asked, this person was unsure and stuck and tormented almost by just indecision and, needing someone to air some things out with. And I was able to provide all of those things. And that made me feel really good because the reaction from her was very strongly positive. So this is why I knew right away when she sent me the email, I could feel empathetically how she felt. And I knew I could help her, and I wanted to do that. And I wanted to do it like, I'm not one to make excuses, but like I wanted to do it right away. I didn't want to bother with anything else but just getting on the phone with her and helping. It will take some self-discipline for me in those cases to do that in a way that sets me up to help people in the long haul, which is what you're talking about, to look past the next phone call to the full relationship where I could deliver maximum impact. I'll need self-discipline around that because I was very excited, right? It's like, and in fact, the phone call was delayed over the weekend because our schedules didn't work out. And I that frustrated me. I was like, I'm ready to talk now. So, yeah, so that's how I felt. And that 100% validated for me, my motivation for this. As you know, I talk a lot about making sure that you know why you're doing something. Make sure you know why you're investing your time in doing a thing. And it, in my personal opinion, and certainly true for me, is it can't be because of the money. There has to be something else in most cases, especially for me. That rang super true. So that was my experience. That's how I felt. We can talk about hers.
Yeah.
But I'll give you an opening there to ask questions around that.
No, I'm good. I have everything I need there. And I'd love to hear what was her perception of the conversation.
She told me she was blown away. I mean, it was so what she needed in electrical engineering. We call this impedance matching, meaning that when these two electrical circuits come together, the electricity can flow freely, but from circuit one to circuit two without any resistance or interference or reflections. It was exactly what she needed at this time in her journey. And it was freeing for her. She's able to go forward. I was able to do a number of things for her. I think one is alleviate some of her unfounded fears and help her unpack them and realize that there wasn't anything to worry about. I was able to contextualize some of her decisions for her and help her identify distinctions that she could use to make her own decisions about how to move forward and so forth. And then I was able to help her identify a few cases where she was making choices that were where she was getting in her own way, where she was operating from kind of a false narrative and that was preventing her from going forward. And I was able to give her a vision of the future that was not only optimistic, but realistic. Like, here's, you know, what would this look like? Okay. Is that realistic? Is it not? What is okay? How can you decide whether or not it makes sense for you to move forward? We worked through these questions. I actually used, I resisted the temptation, the here's the answer thing. For me, I know this from my 20 years of coaching in corporate. For me, I always have to resist the temptation to say, oh, hey, wait, here's the answer. Just go do this. Because I oftentimes know the answer. And this is something that I've worked on for years in my corporate job, is to help young, high potential employees, give them the space to find their own answers. This is also a big thing of what the Coaching Habit book is about. All of that's fresh on my mind, and I was able to put that into practice in this call. So I felt validated, vindicated. I don't know what the right word is, but I tried not to twist my arm, patting myself on the back for doing the right thing. So I was able to do that. I was able to not get in my own way on the call, which for me is a huge accomplishment.
Sweet. I love that. So the question for you, when she got off the call, do you think that you made her investment, her sizable investment in this program, exponentially more valuable because you helped her? Number one, did you help her gain more? You said she was unsure. Did she did she leave with more confidence that she has made the right decision? She's moving in the right direction.
Yes, 100%. That's almost exactly what she said, word for word.
So she was stuck and you helped her get unstuck.
Yes.
So off the top of your head, how much is the investment in this program?
$3,500.
So it's a plus. 30,
So whatever you spend while you're doing it, yeah.
Okay, so $3,500 plus whatever you spend. And this is, of course, buying products and sending them to Amazon to be fulfilled, correct?
Yeah, so thousands of dollars.
So this is at least $3,500. And if she's really moving forward and buying product, this could be up to $10,000 or $15,000 investment. Yeah,
let's call it $5,000 to $10,000 just to be, you know, right, conservative.
So here, somebody's already investing at $5,000 to $10,000. And now they're finding themselves unsure, they're stuck, they're tormented, and she's facing indecision. But you've helped her. She's felt free. She's able to move forward. She has she's alleviated unfounded fears. She now has context for the decisions she's making. She's got new distinctions on how to make decisions for herself moving forward, keeping her from further indecision that would get her stuck. You helped her get out of her own way in certain areas where she was making it more difficult than it needed to be. You helped her uncover a false narrative, which of course then means that there's a different narrative moving forward, and you gave her a vision of what is possible. So here you took somebody who is quite frankly maybe unsure about whether or not this was a wise investment of $5,000 to $10,000, and now all of a sudden it's like, wow, this is amazing. I actually might potentially see a very real return on investment for this, and I have a lot more confidence moving forward. So do you see the financial value that is tied to this?
Oh, yeah. And I mean, to amplify that, if she's successful, which I actually expect her to be, it could be a lifetime. I mean, if she builds a small business that just generates a couple $1,000s a month, right?
Yep.
Forever.
Exactly.
That's a lot. I mean, that's life-changing for a lot of people. So yeah, it made me feel, like I said, I felt like I was doing the right thing for the right reason at the right time with the right person. That this is what I want. And I mean, obviously I have to charge money for that to make the math work. But that was the part that I was really excited about, was I felt really good about it. I felt good. That's worth a lot to me.
Let me speak to what you just said there, Mark. Obviously, I have to charge a dollar figure to make it, to make this work out financially. And what I would say is maybe, maybe not. And here's what I mean by that. And what I mean by that is I certainly have to have some level of income financially to be able to use my gift and talents to get a return on investment for my skills and what I bring value to people. But it may be possible. So for example, there may be a number of reasons, let's just say, that this person is not in a position at least any time within the next 6 to 12 months to pay you for coaching. Maybe, for example, she's used her last credit cards and she's maxed out, whatever the scenario is. But wow, you feel really connected and stuff like this. You could put yourself in a position where you have 5 to 7 other clients that are paying you top dollar for what you bring to the table. And that's creating so much margin financially in your life that you have those 5 to 7 people, you earn all of the money you need on a monthly basis working with 5 to 7 people. And it takes you no more than 10 to 12 hours a week to serve those 5 to 7 people, which gives you a lot of margin and freedom and flexibility to do for some what you wish you could do for everyone.
I was going to say that, but I knew I would mess it up. And can we remember where we stole that from?
So I got it from Michael Hyatt, who originally heard it from Andy Stanley.
Andy Stanley, that's right.
Yeah. Do for
many
some.
Many good things come from Michael Hyatt, including quotes from Andy Stanley.
Exactly. So anyway, I think this is brilliant. So the question I have for you is, what was the end of the conversation? How did the conversation come to a close?
I got this one. I didn't quite get to the right level, though. She agreed that we would speak again, but I didn't get it scheduled. So I recognized that was, miss is a strong word, but optimum would have been that I would have had the next call scheduled. I didn't get that far, but she's very excited to talk again after some time passes. So, especially after our conversation today, I'm going to try and formalize make the next session more of a full-on coaching session in the way the first one could have been.
Yeah. And by the way, whenever something like this occurs where maybe there was a missed opportunity to go ahead and I do like scheduling the next session before the end of the first session, like a date and time has been selected and agreed upon right then and there. Not that that's the right way or the only way. It's just what I like. And so in the scenario where that opportunity has already gone by without it being taken, what I would recommend doing what you want to do, decide what all you want, what kind of boundaries and what kind of environment you want to create and how you want to create it. My recommendation for you, just to further do the client astonishment, you know, kind of just blowing their mind with at what level you show up. My recommendation for you is to review your notes about that conversation, some of the insights, and then jump on and record a video via Loom and send a video Loom email. And maybe you have an outline of the documents. It's like, hey, here are some of the things that you had brought up. And these are some of this is the transformation that you experienced. And hopefully this has led to this and this. And so now what I'd love to do is I'd love to invite you. Anyway, you'll come up with some sort of creative way. But what this is doing and what I'm getting at, and this is not just for Mark, but anybody listening in as well. But the idea is to show this person that this means more to you than just a random email. Hey, I'd love to invite you back to another session. If you could go through and really indicate that you've been thinking about them, the conversation that you had, here are some of the biggest takeaways. Here's what I think we could focus on next if you're interested in having this next conversation. I'd like to invite you back, and then you can use whatever language from what I talked about earlier, as much of it as you'd like, or modified for your own approach, as to set the boundaries of what the next meeting would look like.
Yeah, I'm going to do that. That's a great idea. And I'm a little embarrassed that I didn't think about following up that strongly myself. That's really powerful, and I love that suggestion, and I'm going to do that. So,
Did you send an email after the phone conversation with a list of insights that came out of the conversation?
I did, but it was pretty weak compared to, like, for example, I mean, I did that because I see you do that. Mm-hmm. And mine was not as good as yours. But yes, I did send her an email with those insights.
One of the many reasons why I choose to do Zoom calls instead of phone calls is that I actually have, you know, a whole equipment set up that allows me to do a live transcript of the conversation.
And I recognized that hurt me. I mean, it kind of occurred to me during the phone call that I guess it's because I'm kind of old school and the timing of this also didn't work. It wasn't great timing for me from a Zoom call perspective. So I went with the phone call without considering this consequence, because about halfway or a quarter of the way through the phone call, I realized, boy, I better take some good notes here because I'm not recording this. And I regret that. So that needs to be standard operating procedure. Zoom and the tools around that are needed.
Yeah. And as I hear that, Mark, and this is it's not necessarily criticism. It's just feedback that I'd love to give you, is the potential of, in the event that you've got a scheduling kerfluffle with somebody who is struggling to meet at a time where you can be in front of a Zoom conversation and have the exact perfect environment that gives the best availability for you to deliver the best of everything you have to offer. In some way, I would say, hey, if we can't meet for another 3 weeks, then that's fine. But I'd really like to make sure that we meet in a place where I have access to all of the tools that are necessary for me to be of the greatest value. And of course, a part of that comes in when, instead of it, you know, hey, let's just jump on a call and chat about what you're struggling with, it's, hey, this is what I do professionally, and I have a way of doing it that ensures that you get the maximum amount of value. And that's why you may even say, hey, I recognize that you're not available this weekend or this week on Wednesday or Friday. hey, if it has to be 3 or 5 or 6 weeks from now, I'll make time for you.
Yeah.
When is a Wednesday or Friday evening from 8 to 10 that would work for you?
Yeah. You know, that's funny because obviously, it's kind of like you put your hand on the stove. I mean, people can tell you the stove is hot, but until you put your hand on the stove, you don't really realize it. So, you know, I'm realizing these things and these distinctions that I've heard from you or for a reason. And it's really funny because I was just so excited to talk to this woman that I just made compromises that I might not choose to make in the future. And I don't take it as a criticism because it's what happened and you're spot on. So, I mean, it's great. I'm amused at myself most of the time when these things happen. So no worries. Yeah.
And also for anybody that's listening, I'm not being critical at all about a telephone only coaching session. Matter of fact, I think Rich sometimes still does, or at least for a very long time. When I say Rich, I mean Rich Litvin. He did a ton of telephone only coaching conversations. So yeah. It's not that it's required for these things. It's just that, hey, you know, if we're talking about, oh, I'd really like to have the ability to pull up that recording and provide it to them, which I think you see the value of doing, and if having a live transcript or at least a transcript afterwards so that I can go in and run through. By the way, I'll share with you, I have a transcript or a prompt that I use with Otter.ai. So you know that Otter.ai has the ability for you to take it's got the transcript and you can chat with it. And so I put in here, and by the way, this would work if you take the transcript of a conversation, put it in ChatGPT, and then ask this, the same prompt will work. Here's the prompt. Can you please provide me with a very detailed and comprehensive list of insights that came out of this coaching conversation? Using this transcript, please provide these insights in a bullet point format, written in first person as if I'm writing these things to my client in you and your type language.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, I love that. Yeah, and I will say, you know, it's funny. I guess we'll see how this evolves, but, you know, you and I have been friends for a long time. I usually call you. You usually FaceTime me. And I don't know if you've ever noticed that, but I am a phone call person. And I think that's because in corporate, we always did phone calls. Now, of course, I use WebEx now every day of my life, all day long. But usually, even in my corporate job, it's cameras off most of the time. We're using WebEx to share slides, not faces. And so video calls, I don't love them. I don't mind them, but I don't love them. And maybe partially because it compromises my ability to multitask, which is probably why I should be using video calls. But yeah, I agree with you. And I think for this purpose, for this application, I can serve people best in a particular environment with a particular set of tools. And now this is me talking. I should strive to serve people best. That's consistent with who I want to be. So I need to think more about that and probably rely on these kind of tools.
I love everything that you just said. And with the caveat that Zoom video calls may not be required. So,
But
whatever is AI required. AI
transcription recordings make sense.
Yep.
And of course, I have, as you know, all the tools I need to record all the audio I want.
Yes.
I can record audio for the rest of forever of everything that I ever said. No problem. So we now have
the experience of the first person. So you did, we see how you connected with this person. You showed up, they became aware of you, they emailed you, you had a connecting conversation. When you discerned that this person could benefit from your coaching, you made an invitation into the coaching session. You technically, what you did is you invited them into a connecting call where coaching did occur. So
yes, 100%.
So Yeah. So, and by the way, there is one thing that I forgot to mention. There's something powerful when you actually do the invitation the way that I do, and then when you bring them into that session at the beginning of the first call. And if anybody goes back and listens to session one, I even did this with Mark. Hey, Mark, I want to make sure, are you going to hear from a distraction-free environment? Number two, let's see here. What is number two? Do you understand this is my gift to you? No strings attached, no expectation, no obligation that you'll ever become a paid client. And number three, and this is something that we didn't talk about, did you ask for permission to coach? So that is a key ingredient.
I didn't even think about it.
The third thing I'd like to bring up is during this conversation, during this session, may I have permission to be your coach? And before you say yes, let me explain what I'm asking. May I say things to you or ask you questions that will challenge you to think at the deepest level? So there's another thing to bring into that first conversation. And it makes a lot more sense to say, may I be your coach, if you use that invite language that I talked about earlier.
Yeah, I love that. And I do remember the first time you said that to me, I almost said no.
I've had some people say, I don't know how I feel about that.
It sounds risky.
I said, great. We don't have, you know what? I don't have to coach you. We can just sit here and chat for a little bit. I've got some time.
No, you know what I remember taking away from this, and this was a long time ago, so long ago that I had almost kind of forgotten it occurred. But I remember thinking, well, Cliff is like taking this very seriously.
Yeah.
Which is a super useful thing to communicate.
So session one of the Mark Mason sessions is not the first time I've ever coached you.
That's right.
And it's not the first time I've ever coached you since learning the Prosperous Coach method for creating clients. And this is something, tell me if you remember this. I'm almost certain I would have done this with you, but I also did this with Ray. So, but I can't remember if I did this. This would have been back in 2019. But I probably would have said, hey, Mark, I want to let you know, I'm going to ask you this question. May I have permission to be your coach during this session? And by the way, just want to let you know, as of right here, right now, our friendship is on pause.
That was me. Yeah, that was me. I remember that.
Right here, right now, we are not friends for the rest of this conversation. I am seeking permission to be your coach. And what I mean is I want to be able to say things and or ask you questions that will challenge the way that you think at the deepest level. At the end of this conversation, at the end of this coaching session, I'll let you decide if you still want to be my friend after we're done.
Yeah. And it wasn't as bad as it sounds, because I feel like you already had that permission, but it was a very effective question.
Yeah, and in a way, what I did is I didn't only say that for you. I'm also saying that for me. It's like, listen, if I'm truly going to bring who I am as a coach, I don't want to please Mark. I'm not here to make Mark feel better. I'm not here as his friend. I'm here to take my gift of my perspective and my perception. And there are times where it may be beneficial to bring up things that, quite frankly, are challenging, that are difficult to process. And if he's truly genuinely seeking my help and I have the ability to help and to provide it, sometimes it may require asking a question that may not make him too happy with me.
100%.
Now I'm probably
100%.
Quite frankly, it's obvious that there is some filtering that's going on in the Mark Mason sessions, because we are sitting here having, you know, conversations that are public and listenable by everyone. But even still, you know, I'm being a coach first, and Mark and I are friends in between these sessions. At least so far up to this point.
Even be friends after these sessions, maybe.
Maybe. All right. So tell me about the second person. How did that come about?
Okay. So that is just pending, but that person filled out the survey.
What was the survey?
Oh, sorry. Oh, yeah. So I need to give you context. So I have been mentioning on my podcast and in my newsletter that I have some available coaching time. And I mimicked what you use for an application, an intake form, to ask relevant questions that would help me make distinctions about whether or not this person is a good person to include in a coaching experience, right?
Yep.
To involve in a coaching experience. So I have that. It's a very nice, beautifully done type form survey that's mimics, but is personalized, mimics yours, but it's personalized to me.
Awesome. So what I'm hearing is that you've been making these mentions in your podcast. You tell people if they're interested, fill out this form on your website. You've got somebody who filled out the form. You've discerned after reading what they submitted on the form that they would be a potential fit. And so you're ready to make an invitation into a complimentary coaching experience. So the connecting happened by the fact that they became aware of you because of content you've created. You had a call to action to fill out a form. They filled out the form in such a way that definitely gives you an indicator that this is a very good likelihood of a potential client. And so now you're ready you have two options here. At this point, you could email them, thank them for the form, filling out the form, letting them know that you've reviewed their responses. And hey, based upon what you shared, I'd like to ask you these one, two, or three questions. And then you could ask for those things to get more clarity to maybe even, you know, find out, you know, before I jump straight into an invitation, let me ask these additional questions. Now that I have this to work with as a foundation here, I'd like to know what their thoughts are here, here, and here. So you could, that's the next step you could do, is you could stretch the connecting out a little bit longer, or you might have had enough information straight from what they said to this form and go straight into step two, invitation into a session. Which did you do?
Yeah. Clumsily, I did the first one. I mean, I didn't extend it. I based on the form, I asked a follow-up question about whether or not they would be interested in, and I didn't use the right language.
Yeah.
And I shouldn't say it that way. I didn't use the language that I'd like to use moving forward, which is a more professional kind of precise language about coaching, right? So I moved directly to making a decision that I was interested in spending time with this person in a coaching situation. And this person is different than what I expected my ideal coaching client to be in a way that was interesting to me.
I want to hear about that, but I want to address one thing that I heard. By the way, there's nothing wrong. So the one thing that we just heard is that you got the form filled out and you are ready to go straight into invitation, which is step two, which is perfectly fine. There's enough connecting that can happen in the responses to your questionnaire to discern, let's move straight into an invitation. I do that all of the time. Not all of the time, but a lot is what I'm saying.
Often.
I do it often. But here's something I try to never say. Would you be interested in coming conversation with me? Because why would anybody be interested? What you need to do is you need to communicate, here's why investing 60 or 90 minutes of your time, effort, and energy with me is going to benefit you. Not would you be interested. I mean, you need to actually communicate, hey, Mark, in your application or in the form that you filled out, you said that your biggest struggle is this, this, and this. You also said that what's missing in your life is this and this. And you said that the single greatest struggle that you're currently facing is this. And by the way, I want you to imagine I'm sending this to you in a Loom video. Mark, I totally know this. It's like you're reading my old diaries. So let me tell you a quick story about where I was. And so I go on for about 2.5 minutes relating how my story is directly compared to what you've got going on. I also was missing these three elements in my life. And one of my greatest struggles was exactly what you said here. Now, today, here's what my life looks like. Today, I'm routinely making anywhere between $20,000 and $60,000 a month, and I never have to work more than 20 hours a week. Did it happen overnight? No. But if you're interested, this is exactly the type of coaching that I do professionally. And it just so happens that I have a lot of margin in my time, and based upon what you've shared and the way that I'm resonating with your story, I would be delighted to give you a gift of a full 90-minute coaching experience with me. No strings attached. There is no expectation, no obligation. You'll ever pay me anything. And Mark, by the way, I promise you this. During this session, I will not even mention any way you could ever pay me for anything. Would you like to schedule a 90-minute session with me? If so, here are the three things I ask you to agree to. Right. But if you agree to this, here's... Right. Now, what do you think? Do you want to do this? Not would you be interested, but if provided the fact that I already know that you're interested, here's the link to schedule if you will commit to these three things. Anyway, so when you say, would you like to, would you be interested, what do you think about, all that means is that you haven't done the work yet to actually tell them about all of the benefits that they're going to get from having this conversation with you and how it's going to help them gain more certainty and get unstuck and get rid of all the torment and help them break free from all the indecision. If you are interested in freedom and you want to be able to move forward and you want to get rid of all of the fears that you're experiencing, and if you need some context on how to make decisions, not only the ones that you're faced with now, but moving forward, and if you'd like to have a vision of the future of exactly what's possible for you, this one session with me will radically change your experience of everything you're doing in this program. For example, here's the link to schedule. That's the way that I would recommend most people showing up, rather than, hey, would you like to get on a call?
Yeah. And I, you know, for me, I didn't put a lot of thought or effort into that part of this. And clearly it's clear to me that there's benefit to that. So I need to think about that.
And what I love about you, Mark, is you are an amazing copywriter when it comes to sales copy for landing pages on websites. I know because you've helped me a lot with various different landing pages. And what I'm asking you to consider moving forward is get really serious about applying that pastor framework to an invitation to a coaching session.
Yeah, 100%.
Because what you are really, you know, if nothing else, you're pre-framing in their mind what they're going to get from the time with you.
I think that's, it's, you know, and that's the magical distinction. I hadn't thought about that, right? So I don't need to, you know, in these two cases, if you think about it from a conversion standpoint, I don't need to work to convert. The people are already asking me to meet with me. So that was my mindset, was there's nothing to do here but schedule the thing. Now that I have this distinction of pre-framing the coaching session and the rest of the relationship with the invitation, that changes how I'll behave.
Yeah. Right?
Because now I have that distinction now that I didn't have 30 minutes ago.
Yeah. And have you got into the part in Creating Lasting Change where he talks about framing? He talks about content reframing, context reframing. He also talks about pre-framing, framing, and reframing. So I think that's in day 4 of 10 or 5 of 10.
But I seem to remember that maybe from UPW. Or maybe a book that I read from him. But
it's probably
so I'm familiar with what you're talking about, but I haven't listened to that in this session.
Yeah.
I think I'm on day 4 of 10 right now.
Yeah, it's good stuff. All right. So I want to hear, what is it that you found interesting about who this person is that you wouldn't have thought would be benefiting from the type of coaching you were thinking of offering?
Yeah, so we talked about, just to catch everybody up that might be listening for the first time, we had talked about what my ideal coaching client would be, and it was someone who was far enough along in their internet business journey to be serious, and but someone who could benefit from my help, which we talked before. I thought that covered a lot of people, because I've been doing this for a very long time. And so but I'm imagining people with a set of accomplishments in online business that we're looking to get to the next level, to use a Cliff Ravenscraft phrase, right? And so this person was not that. This person was someone who was interested in starting an online business. But here's what made it interesting. They're already an entrepreneur. They have their own brick and mortar business that they built, and they listen to my podcast because they're interested in either, in somehow diversifying, leveraging, growing, or changing that to include an online component. That got my attention. I was like, okay, this is really interesting. So this person that caused me to reframe what I meant when I was talking about my ideal person. That distinction I was trying to make had to do with weeding out tire kickers and not really about specifically online business experience. That was the wrong description, because it was immediately obvious to me, a serious entrepreneur that's looking to do something more or for the first time online is well inside of the people that I could really help and meets my criteria of people who are who have the right mindset to be successful.
Yeah. And they've demonstrated that they can take a concept and roll with it.
100%.
Yep.
I thought it was super interesting. Realization, epiphany, whatever, that, oh, wait a minute. I'm coming into this process. This is something else that I, bring from corporate, right? Is I try to be very careful about not coming into situations with bias. I mean, and I don't even really mean that, because I come into every situation with my own biases, confirmation biases, biases based on my experience, biases based on my moral frame and scruples. And I have all these biases. And every time I get into a meaningful conversation, I try to put those on hold so I can make an independent judgment and then apply whatever biases that I can intentionally, whatever I need, like a moral framework or something like that. But I try to listen first and evaluate first, independent of these things, all this baggage that I'm carrying. And I realized I'm violating my own rules, man. I mean, I didn't even really like carefully think about the ideal client question. And so that was meaningful self-coaching, if you will, that I kind of arrived at as part of this.
Yeah. And by the way, I'm going to be interested in following your journey over the years, because there's no doubt in my mind that at some point coaching is going to be a big part of who you are and what you do. And I'm interested to see if there's one day where you're coaching a stay-at-home mom who has no desire to ever have an online business, but there's some reason why she's at that time. It's like, you know what? Yes, I want to coach you when it comes to this. And it might be helping support her. She's a single mom and her child is trying to become a professional baseball player. And she's trying to figure out, I just don't know what I don't know about how sports and baseball works with young boys. I see so many different ways and reasons why somebody might coach you so far outside of what you think your value is at this point. Does that make sense?
It makes sense, and I'll validate it for you. I mean, I'll say two things. One is, if I can feel the way that I felt when I got off the phone with this person who was working through this Amazon thing, I mean, I just wanted to pump my fist in the air, you know?
Yeah.
It's like one of those, like, rah! You know? As if I can feel that way, I'm in. And I will tell you that I know the answer because I've done that. I mean, I've done those things over my lifetime across so many different areas, divorce, and I mean, just all kinds of things, right?
Yep.
Which is, these techniques apply to. I'm not in any way applying that I'm a licensed professional counselor or anything like that. I'm just saying that I completely resonate with the idea of helping people for the sake of helping them across a wide variety of areas. I totally resonate with that. And I'd love to create a situation where I had freedom to do those things as I was called to do them.
Mark, I'd love to, at 18 minutes and 23 seconds left in our conversation, I'd love to ask you right now, in our conversation so far today, let's back up to the beginning. And when you were telling me about these two people that you've invited and how the invitation, can you share with me what are some of the earliest insights that you've gotten from our conversation today that will influence what you do moving forward?
Yeah, I mean, the big one for sure is something that we talked about already, which was the benefits of, I started to say the need to, but I'm going to use better language because you're listening to me. The benefits of, for those of you that are listening to this episode, language is super important. And that's one of the many things I've learned from Cliff over the years. The insight I received is I understand the benefits of being thoughtful about how I present the coaching experience, how that's presented and scheduled. So that's the first thing, is to present it as a gift of a professional thing, not just a one-off phone conversation, which, left to my own devices, Cliff, I would never have gotten there. It wouldn't have occurred to me for a very long time. I'm certain of that. So that's one.
Okay.
And then the second distinction that I think is epic is both in follow-up and at other times, going back to something that actually something that you did years ago, using video to make connections, and both in follow-up and in where there are other opportunities, I have all these great tools to do that. And I need to be doing that. And then the third distinction insight that I would claim is that it's perfectly fine. I have permission to bring my best self to the coaching session, which maybe even an obligation to bring my best self to the coaching session, which means that I need to be in the right environment. I shouldn't feel pressured to take a coaching call while driving down the highway. I didn't do that, but that's an extreme example, just so I can get it scheduled. It's okay. I have permission to do it the right way as time permits.
I love those. If you didn't get anything else out of our conversation today, these, I think, would be incredibly powerful on your journey towards not only securing, but also serving your two clients that you're going to have before the end of this year. Do you agree with that?
I do.
All right. And so I would imagine that I can see how each of those three bullet points you just shared with me, that you already can turn those into action items that you will work on moving forward. Now, we have 15 minutes left. You said one of the things you'd like to do is maybe discuss why is it that I didn't do those I had the scheduled out time, Wednesday evenings and Friday evenings, and yet I did not have those filled with coaching clients, and I didn't take the opportunity to sit down and say, okay, who's next on the list of the people that I want to personally connect with and move towards a potential invitation? So what comes to your mind as you think about why did you have that blocked out but didn't take the opportunity?
Yeah, I think there's a simple answer, but I'm worried that the simple answer isn't the whole truth. So let me tell you the simple answer, and then let's talk about what I think might still be true that I need to still work on. So the simple truth is I had an incredibly busy February. I have some big commitments in my day job and in my online business outside of coaching, and an aggressive schedule that I'm trying to meet, and I'm a little behind in all phases of everything. Baseball season just started. I traveled to Austin with my son, which is the highest priority, to go to a baseball tournament. He's playing more. I never miss a pitch or an inning of any of his games. That is my highest priority. I will not change that for anyone, including my day job. And when I stacked those four things up, coaching lost out. And there were stuff further down that also lost out. Coaching wasn't the only thing that lost out. That's the simple explanation.
Yeah.
If I'm honest about it, though, I feel like I could have fought harder and to win the scheduling battle for coaching. And I didn't. And I it's because I was stuck on I was stuck on this 10 coaching offers thing, worried about finding people and not, you know, I wasn't behaving confidently. I'm like, you know, who are these, what are these people going to think? You know, I wasn't saying any of that out loud. It's not like it's never that obvious, right? It's not like, it's not like I'm a pile of goo shivering in the corner, afraid to invite someone to a coaching session. I'm sure those people are out there. You know me. That's not me, right? I have been accused of being able to sell ice cubes to Eskimos, right? So it's not, and you probably can't even say Eskimos anymore. That's probably an incorrect term. So native Arctic people or whatever they are. Okay. So it's not that, but if I'm honest, when that's what this is about, right? If I'm honest, I felt resistance, to this process of identifying prospects, and it's got to be, I feel like it's got to be coming from some combination of imposter syndrome, fear of rejection. And I know what those things are, and I know techniques for dealing with them. And I don't really believe that I'm an imposter, and I don't really fear rejection more than, you know, would be normal. If I go to assign a cause, where's the resistance coming from? Why didn't I really do it? It's super convenient and easy just to say, oh, I was busy. But that's true. But again, that's not the whole story. If that had been a baseball game with my son, I'd have been there.
Yep.
Right. If you switch, so it can't be just that I was busy, because I could have unbusied myself. So, and I know it's not that it's not important to me, because I'm investing time in it. So there's something else there, and I need to, my idea is to recommit to those things in this coming month and pay attention to how I feel when I'm trying to get that done and actually actively try to unpack it on the spot. That's everything I have to say about that.
Excellent. So I have a series of questions that I may come up with here. So the first question that's immediately coming to my mind, I want you to review just in your mind, it doesn't have to be exact, but since last month, you should have had approximately 8 different blocks on your calendar, Wednesday nights and Friday nights, correct? And yes. During those times, if you would have had somebody that committed, Mark, I would love to be coached by you in all of those sessions, would you have missed any of them?
No.
Okay. So we know for a fact it's not the fact that you didn't have time. It's not that there was something else. Because if you would have had people scheduled, in spite of the 100%. Fact that you're behind on some commitments to the day job, you're behind on some things over here and stuff like that, if those people were on your calendar, you would have been there.
100%. Just like the baseball, I would have been there. That's exactly my point.
Yes. Yep. Now, and by the way, I just wanted to clarify something for you. So tomorrow, I'm booked for the next 2 weeks, and I've been booked for the last 6 weeks because I did this program, the Next Level Coaching Program, where I gave a challenge, hey, let's all commit to having 100 powerful coaching conversations within a 90-day period of time. And so I went hog wild crazy on this thing. But tomorrow at 1 o'clock and 3:30, which is my only two time slots I do, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday, I don't have anybody booked tomorrow at all. I had people booked, but through a series of different things, people said, hey, listen, something came up. I need to reschedule. So through a series of events, I have 2 unfilled slots tomorrow. I'm going to confess something to you, Mark. I was up. Oh, by the way, Stephanie says, hey.
Hi, Steph.
Also, Russell and I talked at 1 o'clock today. He says, hey.
Hey, Russ.
So, but I was upstairs with Stephanie right before this call, and I said, Stephanie, I don't know. I don't have anything scheduled tomorrow. I wonder, should I do something about that, or should I take the day off? So I'm confessing to you, Mark, there are times that even I am faced with 2 empty coaching sessions and sometimes decide to do something other than use those blocks of time to fill more clients. And it's not that I'm trying to run from anything. It's not anything like that. So I don't know what it is for you. And my guess is that each time when you're confronted with that's on your calendar, but there's really nobody here to coach, it's very clear that if somebody else's time is committed to that same block of time, it does change for you what that priority of that time block is. So, by the way, you may want to see if you have a friend. I occasionally will do this. This is a little trick. Sometimes I'll say, hey, Stephanie, I actually have a 90-minute coaching session tomorrow from a block of time from 1:30 from 1 to 2:30. That is not filled. Would you come into my office and make sure that I don't do anything during that block of time other than invite people to future sessions? And
that's awesome.
And believe it or not, Mark, something as simple as that. Stephanie's like, sure, I'll come down and sit in your chair and read my Kindle. That's no big deal. But it's sometimes as simple as getting somebody else to book and schedule that time and says, listen, hey, and I said, listen, all you have to do is every 10, 15 minutes, hey, did you get distracted? What are you doing? You know, and it's like, here's what I'm doing. So some things like that. But I just want you to know you're not alone in this. I go through times where for me personally, I find that I'm in a season right now where, gosh, I've been doing 8 sessions every single week nonstop for the last 6 weeks. And I do the Next Level Mastermind in the morning. I do the Green Mastermind on Wednesday after that. And then I have the Next Level Coaching Program Wednesday afternoon. And so I look at tomorrow and I'm like, I am really tempted to just say, you know what? Free day. But also I recognize that, sure, the next 2 weeks are booked, but I'm so full booked over this. I really need to make sure that I'm inviting people for the second half of March. And technically, I have a lot of free time and a lot of flexibility that I could be doing that in other time slots throughout the week because I have so much margin in my life. But you don't have that. And so that's why.
Not yet.
Exactly. And so that's what I'm saying is you really want to get to this. And creatively, one of the things that I know, and that's the reason why I asked this question, if you had somebody booked in that slot, would you have done something different? And the answer is no. So think about this as a possible solution, and it may not be the solution you choose, but can you block somebody to come sit with you in your office and say, hey, Mark, are you doing this?
Maybe I should come to Kentucky and sit with you in your office.
Let's do it, and we could do it together. Or hey, we could sit there and do it via Zoom. But anyway, I share that with you to number one, say that you're not alone in this.
And yeah, thank you.
There isn't as much of a priority of an empty block of time unless you create a neuroassociation to it. Now, I will tell you this though. For me, and you don't have this motivation either. You're right now, your day job supplies all your financial needs. And so this isn't you don't have that motivating factor there. For me, I could take tomorrow off, no big deal. But if I actually do this the next, you know, if I consistently don't use those open slots, I'll eventually get to a place where I've got way too many open slots and I don't have enough income. And then it becomes like, oh, how am I going to pay the bills this month? And that becomes the motivating factor that says, let's go and do this. One last thing, Mark. I'm going to ask you this question. If you got to Wednesday night this week from 8 to 10 and you had nobody in that slot, how, if it could be easy for you to invite people and fill the next couple of weeks of slots, what would that be?
I'd have a list of people who already wished they had an opportunity to have a coaching experience that I was just, you know, like it would, that's what it would feel like. It would feel like I was just, you know, knocking over bowling pins, right?
Okay. Do you have such a list?
I don't.
Okay. So one of the things that you could do is from Wednesday from 8 to 10, could you think of things that you could do for 2 hours that would make that list manifest itself into reality within the next 30 days?
Yeah, that is the next step. And it's really the step you suggested, which is, okay, identify 10 people. That's the step. And that's what I didn't do. And I think I didn't do it because I knew eventually I was going to reach out to those people. And I just need to do that, commit to it, recommit to it, pay attention, and then see where that takes me. That's the plan.
Yeah. And you may continue to face resistance. It's not uncommon. The one thing here that I absolutely see from my side is there's no real rush here. There's no real rush for you to succeed beyond the fact that you're doing the Mark Mason sessions in a very public way with Cliff Ravenscraft. And in some way, I feel like I should be doing this because I'm doing this with Cliff and I invited him to do this with me and I should be doing this. And that may be some of your, you know, your feelings of why this isn't, why this should be important. But at the same point, in all, there are really no consequences of those sessions going unfilled either. Does that make sense?
Right. Yeah, 100%.
And if there's anything, Mark, what I'm sensing is there's no real consequences here. So if you want to do this process, this is something that creating lasting change is going to teach you all about. You need to create the neuroassociations. What is the massive immediate pleasure that I will gain by devoting these hours to this project? And you need to create a bullet point list of what is the massive, immediate, unbearable pain that I will experience if I forego this commitment on an ongoing basis.
This is good input. I know this. This is right. Yep. That's sweet. Good.
All right. Are we ready to book for next month?
Always.
3:30 p.m. Eastern.
Got it.
I will send you the recording of our call here shortly. And I think this wraps it up for session 3 of the Mark Mason sessions. Thank you, brother.
You're amazing. And I want to leave people with one thing to think about. I felt so great after my phone call with this woman today.
Yeah.
Earlier. I want to encourage people who haven't had that experience to go have that experience. For whoever will have that, if you haven't done that, you're on the fence. That is just gold.
It is. That fist pump that you're talking about, I get off of so many calls. And as soon as I close out the Zoom, I'm like, this is exactly why I do what I do.
Yeah, exactly. Go look for that.
Go look for that. Thank you, Mark.
Thanks, brother. Bye-bye.
Have a good one. Well, there you go, my friends. Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of Cliff's Notes on Profitable Coaching. If you are enjoying the Mark Mason sessions, do you know I'd love to hear from you? Occasionally, I get an email from somebody who just drops in. It's like, oh man, I loved what Mark was sharing in his last session with you. And so I know there are some of you who are out there listening to this. And if you are listening to this, if you picked up any insight, what has resonated with you from this conversation? What are you taking away from this conversation? I genuinely want to hear from you. Send me an email today, cliff@cliffravenscraft.com, and in the subject line, put session 3. And then share with me, what did you take away from this session? I can't wait to hear from you. Until next time, I encourage you to take everything you do to the next level. Mindset. Answer Man.